Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
Freaky Darling, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Ferlinghetti, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. Please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint on Thursdays, then break on through with Pam on Friday, and opening up this weekend, Dex and Pam are bringing you a very new show, and it's called Once Upon a Time. And join Arcana and Stellina every other Sunday as they go delving into the darkness. Now, these shows are designed so that you can color outside the lines with rich raw emotions, tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So, pull up a chair, relax, and open your mind. I'm Rex, and my co-host Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. How's it going?
All right, what's up?
Oh, same old, same old. You know, hiding away from the sunlight for fear that I'll, like, turn into a smoldering pile of ash, you know, and all that. So, but yeah, all in all, life is good. And so, what's up with you?
Nothing but the heat.
Nothing, yeah, I get that. And you are definitely starting to get some scorcher there, that's for sure. But, yeah, great lineup of poetry tonight. Very cool contest that you ran. So tell us a little bit about tonight's topic.
Tonight we're doing a mashup. I went through and picked up a number of Jack Kerouac lines, and I decided to match them up with some lines from Morrison as the prompt, or a double. Each prompt has one set from Kerouac and one from Morrison for you to play with as a single note.
Very cool, very cool. And I could tell from reading through the prompts that you carefully chose, like you really took the time to take a Kerouac quote and a Morrison quote that kind of like that fit together, created an almost seamless flow of thought, or almost as if one quote was the answer to the other one, so, or an extension of. So, very cool.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Maybe we can maybe we can try different mashups occasionally.
Oh, I'm already thinking on it.
Oh, good, good. Very cool. Very cool.
I wouldn't mind taking somebody and running them up with I got one for Ginsberg Goes Wild. Ginsberg and Austin.
Oh, okay. So I see. I do Ginsberg and I get questioned, but you can do Ginsberg with no questioning, huh?
No, I just thought Ginsberg and Oscar would be a nice play.
It does sound fun. It does. I just had to give you a hard time. You know, I just had to give you a hard time about that. But, yeah, no, it does. It does sound fun. Very cool. I like it. All right. Well, we got a nice full board tonight. So I guess whenever you're ready, we can get this ball rolling.
Let's do it.
All right. So up first, we have Empty Moon by Garanwy. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
Empty Moon by Garanwy. Kissed in Père Lachaise while swimming to the moon, with lipstick witnesses to an empty sky. A dance of images found by those who didn't know. Fear and loathing sound on the road. A slow march towards the dance of death, embracing the drumbeats of rock and roll. Looking for a moon that has lost its sky, drowned in swimming to the sea. Seizing a chance to bet the farm on number 3 with a smoking cigarette, wondering at a bus stop if the greyhound runs to tomorrow's roads, on horizons of oblivion, looking at the stars going out one by one, in a mist of forever, on a road no one gets off alive. End poem. All right. What do you think?
Oh, I liked this one. I thought it was quite clever and intelligent. You know, you did a wonderful read of it. I like how this is a tribute to both Morrison and Kerouac. And, you know, I thought it had wonderful imagery and metaphors. I like that he opens up with the, you know, the cemetery that Morrison is buried in. I particularly like the reference to the road. You know, like how he says the road, the roads are road a couple of times. You know, we're paying tribute to the book by Kerouac, The Road, but also it makes me think of the Doors song. There's a killer on the road, and you know that I can't remember something about being squashed like a toad. But anyways. Really a wonderful, wonderful tribute to both artists with great references all the way through. And I especially like looking for a moon that has lost its sky, drowned in swimming to the sea, seizing a chance to bet the farm on number three. You know, clever lines and very well done.
Wow, thank you very much. Nice of you. I got to check it. That was a nice touch starting out with the pale shape swimming to the moon. I like that thought, plus the empty sky to bop into that. But he also drops in a note to Hunter S. Thompson with fear and loathing found on the road. So you get a little bit from Kerouac. You've got Morrison plus. You're dropping in Hunter as a quick note, just to say, these guys all fit together in the same boat. Now, the back end of this, on the horizons of oblivion, looking at the stars going out one by one, in the midst of forever, on a road that no one gets off alive. Now, that rolls back to that the book about Morrison, No One Here Gets Out Alive, which was a nice touch, and that note to on the road with a with Kerouac. So I like this touch of humor too, as well as the note to, hey, you know what, we're off. Sometimes life isn't fair, and sometimes you get to stay on that road for a little while, and sometimes you don't, because we're all swimming to a moon one day or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So true. Great observation, Edna. All right. Well, I would like you to know that we do have Dexter with us. So welcome, Dexter. Hey. Glad you could join us.
Congrats, hey, Pam. Glad I can make it.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. A little time off. I got about a week off where I can be on these late shows.
Cool.
During the week.
Oh,
so
nice.
I can make it.
Well, tonight ought to be interesting considering the topic chose to play with Kerouac and Morrison. So you should have some fun.
Absolutely. I thought so too. That's why I was pleased to see the context.
Nice. All right, Pam. So where are we going to go now? Have we got an extra person in the room?
Yes, we do. Very nice. Very nice. Well, up next, we have Melodic Ride by Betty Page. And I will go ahead and give this one a read. And it goes like this. I'm on a melodic high cruising Sunset Strip tonight, winding my way to the tide. I sip on lyrics, then sigh, drifting notes, ascending light, illuminating we ride. Sing to me as we make love, gazing high at stars above, get tangled in the moonlight, pin me with songs as a dove, pressed wings held strong with your glove, intensely just do me right, fiercely pounding rhythms sweet, dancing entwined to the beats, roller coaster melodies, dipping, descending, we meet, luscious, sinful angels' treats, wild, passionate remedies, kissing tears straight right off your cheeks, reminiscing, conversing, feeling, touching crescendos, mezzo forte, wicked peaks into soft, subtle, swirling, lyrical innuendos. I'm on a melodic high, cruising sunset strip tonight, winding my way to the tide. I sip on lyrics, then sigh, drifting notes, ascending with light, illuminating, we ride. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Betty dipped into The Only Truth Is Music. Soft, driven, slow and mad, like some new language. I like it. Dex, why don't we kick it with you? What you think?
This was a hell of a write by Betty Page, and extremely sensual. When you talk about pin me with the songs as a dove, and when you talk about the pounding or whatever it was, there's a certain part in here that kissing tears right off the cheek, reminiscing of feeling, touching crescendos. There's extremely sensual imagery within this, but done within an extremely loving manner. And so it was just a melodic ride. It was a perfectly titled and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Dex. Pam, what about you?
Oh, I really like this one. As always, she's got wonderful 575 lines, stunning imagery and metaphors. I like how there is definitely a sensuality to this, and yet there's a duality in the sensuality, because it's not just about the sensuality between two lovers. It's about the connection and sensuality between a person and music. I really like how this speaks on the idea of the high of life and the high from music. And, you know, Lester, I did like the mention, the line that had the pounding thing in it, because of the fact, the fiercely pounding rhythm, sweet, dancing entwined to the beats, roller coaster melodies. Make you think, who was it that sang the song Roller Coaster? Was it the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Although I think they did a remake of it.
I don't know.
Do you know, Dexter, I know you're a little younger, but was it the Red Hot Chili Peppers that did the song Roller Coaster? We'll just have to guess. Okay.
Well,
but anyways.
Do you recognize John Hill and Jack Antonoff?
No. I just remember the song. I don't remember. I really like the phrase also, lyrical innuendos. And I'm on a melodic high, cruising sunset strip tonight, winding my way to the tide. This really speaks to me on the idea that music and those like long drives are you know, some of the best pleasures in life. So excellent write and very well done.
Jack Antonoff was the lead singer in the band The Bleachers, and is the guitarist and drummer in the pop rock band Bun.
Okay, cool.
All right. With this kind of takes me back in time to those days, kind of about almost 60 years ago, when the strip, much like down in San Francisco, you had that arena where every club was on fire each night of the week, and most assuredly on the weekend. And that was where you went, because she hits on that second stanza. I sip on lyrics, then sigh, drifting notes, ascending lights, illuminating, we rise. Then I kind of hit that note of club hopping with the music. Sing to me as we make love, gazing high at stars above, get tangled in the moonlight. Now there, it kind of hits on the end. And I do like the next one. Deck hit on that sort of central. Pin me with songs as a dove, pressed wings held strong with your glove. Intensely, just do me right. So, well played with that note there, Betty. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where do you want to go now?
Oh, that is a good question. That is a good question. And all right, let's see here. Oh, yes. Here we go. All right. The next poem up is Unfair Life Always Ends in Tears by Jenny the Deep and Dexter. Go ahead, please, and give that a read for us.
Absolutely. Unfair life always ends in tears. Was promised forever. Now we're ending in fortune. Or now we're ending in torture. The unforeseen future is truly unpredictable. Our hearts break only sometimes. Mendable. If life we die, our few will rise. Only few will rise. In love we cry. As the other curses and spite from sadness and death or leaving a lover. Someone's always left in tears from another. Blinded by rage, drowning in today's quarrels, missing tomorrow's forgiveness and any corrupt morals. Painful flames are in the past or hard to extinguish, but should try to be replaced with memories to cherish. Life, as we know, is not always fair, but for someone, it will always end with tears, heartache, uncontrollable tears whirl. Life is tragedy waiting for all boys and girls. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Jenny dipped into, it all ends in tears anyway. The future is uncertain. All right, Pam, I should kick us off.
Yeah, this is a wonderful, heartfelt, and emotive write. And great read there, Dexter. I really particularly like the phrase, blinded by rage, drowning in today's quarrels, missing tomorrow's forgiveness of any corrupt morals. The idea that we stick so strongly to being right in an argument that we don't, you know, we end up losing in the end. And, you know, I thought it was just I liked how the main message to me, especially that came through in the end with heartaches, uncomfortable tears whirl. Life is a tragedy waiting for all boys and girls is to me that really spoke on the thought that eventually heartbreak and tragedy and, you know, happens to anyone who puts themselves out there. And that pretty much is almost anybody. There's very few people that don't at least once in their life try to find the right person. Or sometimes heartache can even just mean losing a good friend or a family member. You know, anybody who's ever put themselves out there or cared about other people set themselves up to get their heart broken. That's just the risk you take, you know, in order to find love. And I like the bite in these lines. And I like the fact that she speaks with this raw honesty of how much it can life can hurt. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read this. How about you?
Yeah, it does. This was a phenomenal write. You know, when you talk about the unfair life in tears, you know, was promised forever. I feel like that's almost every child. You know, when every child is almost talked about the princes and the kings and the princesses. Now we're ending in torture. You know, I feel like this is talking about just childhood that's almost misenchanted by the different stories. Blinded by rage, now drowning in today's quarrels. Growing up with the reality of what is today. Missing tomorrow's forgiveness with any corrupt morals. You know, it's hard to believe this bullshit, you know, after a while. And so I just think that this is a fantastic write running along with what today's narrative is.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Kind of hits me with the thought of illusions and illusions, and how if we don't know the difference between the two, it bites one in the ass. The idea of life not being fair, that's true. Because with happiness comes the rain that must inevitably fall. And you can't always have that note of one thing walk within your life without pain actually stepping into it as well. It just doesn't work that way. We are born to feel and understand those notes of pain so that we can actually traverse this life with a little bit more courage than we might normally have. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you very much. To you, Pam.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Up next, we have No by Liquid Mind Forever. And, oh, shoot. Let me take a double look at this. Is a neutral voice? Yeah, I think so. All right. So, Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
No, by Liquid Mind Forever. So, play me long, play me hard, a band of ancient yore. No is the answer, and more, but what for? Soft the breeze of passing lips over my tongue long. Unsung this melody, a rhapsody to classicalize the pink of your sword. Unheard the grasp as my ears compressed between the rise of thighs. So, play me long, play me hard, a band of ancient yore. No is the answer, and more, the what for? It is the unwritten rest that conquests the mangled breath, tangled strands of forest glen, then now and when of sudden death. Hold me on the formato of hard rock blues, abuse me till what's left. Scream. Play me long, play me hard, a band of blood and gore. No is the answer, and more, the what for. So, play me long, play me hard, a bard of ancient blood of yore. No is the answer, and more, the what for. So, no is the answer, and more, the what for. And poem. Liquid went with the only truth is music, soft, driven, slow, and mad, like some new language. And Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Hey, could we start with somebody else? I just had a firework go off that made my dog pee and poop all across my kitchen.
Oh, dear.
Like a welcome present. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Step on up for the peed dog on the carpet.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. As always, Liquid Mind Forever has a nicely polished write great use of repetition, inner and end rhyme, hard-hitting lines. I thought there was actually an intensity that really drove these lines home, and you did a great job of capturing that with your read. Amazing imagery and metaphors, and to me, this while there is an undertone of sensuality to it, and with the repetition of no, there's a tone of almost like standing up for yourself, you know, putting your foot down, you know, great wordplay. But I feel like there's also this thought of how music takes over the body and mind, and the idea of almost like losing control. I really like the reference to a bard, you know, a bard being a poet or somebody who wrote or sang songs for entertainment. I also really like this melody, a rhapsody is a nice tone line. And where else? Like I said, great use of repetition. Tangled strands of forest glen, the now and when of sudden death, hold me on the fermato of hard rock blues, abuse me till what's left screams. Play me long, play me hard, a bard of blood and gore. You know, I feel like play me long, play me hard, a bard of blood and gore is actually the music personified and speaking to the person. So excellent writing, very well done.
Nice. Well, I'm going to go with more of the hard one central angle that she's dipped into. Unsung this melody, a rhapsody in classical eyes, the pink of your sword. Unheard the gasp as my ears compressed between the rise of thighs. And then again, what was it? Tangled strands of forest glen, the now and when of sudden death. Hold me on the fermato of hard rock blues, abuse me till what's left screams. Play me long, play me hard, a bard of blood and gore. Know is the answer, and more and more, the what's for. The music of love, so to speak. That's where I'm going to hit on with this. It has a good, what you took, you're going to go with the thought with the more and more is capitalized. So there's the pounding rhythm that goes within that music of love. So, nicely done, Liquid. And Dex, you back yet?
I am.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I had catastrophic terror happening all across my kitchen floor off of one boom, you know. It's a tough day. Tough day for dogs. I'll just say that.
Yep.
Play me long, play me hard, a bard ancient yarn. Nor this is a fantastic piece, and a fantastic piece because of the melody that she plays throughout this, the rhyme that she plays throughout this, and the conquest unwritten breaths of conquest and mangled breath. Tangled strands of forest, glen now, sudden death. I feel like this is an epic write talking about just interhuman relationships and how we intertwine with each other and the power maybe of saying no. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. All right, Pam, where are we going to delve into next?
All right, well, let's see here. Yeah, I have to say, I actually think I'm one of the few people that has dogs that aren't afraid of fireworks. In fact, they're just completely opposite. I let them outside the other night. We had neighbors having fireworks going off, and they just started running down the road towards the neighbor's house.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
because they want to sit in on it.
They do. Exactly.
Mine's been out all day with the fireworks going off. Plus, hell, I got gunshots here all day, every day. So not a big deal.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, up next we have Insane Love in the Rain by Hat. And it goes like this. Gray moon bathed in the night lake. The rain, like a curtain, separated the world and me. I sat for in silence without moving and listened to the orchestra tap, 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 until a dove cooed in an echo, an owl hooed from a distance. Warmth of a hug melts even the stars. A cherry tree cuts midnight with the shadow in the moonlight. Two lovers, they need love on the ground. A moss bed, thyme pillow, yellow buttercups paint pictograms on his moving back. Bluebells jingle and the crickets play a song. It's May, month of love. My sweaty hair in a wild movement covering the dance of peaches on my chest. Shivers shoot me to the moon. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Hat went with Beautiful Insane in the Rain and Let's Swim to the Moon. And Deck, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a fantastic write. Insane Love in the Rain. Dream moon bathed in the night lake. And the rain, like a curtain, separated the world and me. You know, this is just talks about the love and how some things like the weather and things can trigger certain mind frames and certain ideologies or just, you know, and certain feelings that we have. Warmth of a hug melts even the stars. And just the feeling that we have that love can overtake. So I thought that this was a fantastic write.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. It was absolutely beautiful. And there is something so very sensual and romantic about a summer night with a soft rain. And I like the imagery and metaphors in this. I like how she captures the sound of nature, the cooing dove, the hooing owl, and the tap-tap-tap of the rain, and the two lovers beneath the moonlight. And of course that covering the dance of peaches on my chest, my sweaty hair in a wild movement covering the dance of peaches on my chest was a particularly seductive line. I love the sense of movement within this and how she describes this personal moment between two lovers appreciating not only each other but nature. So very well done.
Nice. I can walk that tone too, but I like that description and that long stanza. There's a nice touch with the a cherry tree cuts midnight with the shadow and moonlight. And then they need love on the ground with that note of need being the pleasure and needing flesh like needing dough. A moss bed time pillow. Yellow buttercups paint pictograms on his moving back. A nice touch for them. Bluebells jingle and the crickets play a song. It's May, month of love. My sweaty hair in a wild movement, covering the dance of peaches on my chest. Nice glowing imprint you've impressed upon the mind there. Thank you very much. And where do we go now?
All right. Well, that is a good question. All right, let's see here. Got to grab something for Dexter to read. So here we go. This is a good one for him. All right. Do-do-do. All right. Up next, we have Miles Davis by Self Rising Mojo. And Dexter, go ahead, please, and give that a read.
All right, I will give this a read. This is Miles Davis. Angry, but composed. Cool, carried, determined. Natural birth. Sound. Stripped to the bone. Then built back upon one. Scratches of existence. An infant shakes a rattle. Rhythm starts on the bottom. Electric doesn't spark its fills. The air with hands holding a horn, the high notes of God. Damn, anyone who treats an entire people as though they were less than all beings created equal. Limits stretched by 1970. Coltrane, Hendrix, centuries of whale in single decades. Bridges across the divide. Bitches, Brew, Jack, Johnson. Songs like the words not spoken, playing from the inside, out of we all look the same. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like this one.
The only truth is music, soft, driven, slow, and mad, like some new language. That was the prompt.
Yes, I did notice when I read through the rights earlier today, I did notice that was the most taken prompt. It really connected with a lot of people. I really appreciate and enjoy Self-Rise and Mojo's poetry. I like that this pays tribute not only to Miles Davis, but, you know, so many great musicians. You know, of color. And, you know, there's, I like that it pays tribute to these great musicians and to the music that they've shared with the world. But there's also this powerful message of the sad reality of racism. And then, of course, the beautiful truth of music. And music is such an amazing thing. It's so beautiful and so universally understood in so many different cultures that it does break down a lot of barriers, but unfortunately only to people who are willing to have those barriers broken down. 'Cause if you get someone who is a truly hateful person that judges people and, you know, condemns people and hates people for the color of their skin, then there is very little music that, in fact, there's no music. Actually, I don't think that can get through a mindset like that. I really, really like that he brings up not only Miles Davis in his title, but Coltrane and Hendrix and Jack Johnson. I mean, you know, all the way through, there's just powerful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you? We got on mute first.
I thought this was an incredible write. So, hold on one second here when I get back to it. Sorry, because I had a comment come in here, too. But the Miles Davis reference, you know, talking about angry but composed, the whole thing carried on to it, the black nature of it all, right? You know, because at the time you had to be very pissed off almost to be a black performer. You were not getting anywhere near to what the white performers were getting, yet you were better, you know. And so scratches his existence, infant shakes in the rattle, everything along those lines just really captured the piece, and I thought it was superbly done.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Part of this is the arena where it was held, as far as that goes. Like Chicago back in the day, that's where you went for your blues. That's where you went for your jazz, because everything down there smoked, and they all knew where the good players were and which clubs they were in. So they got really good billing down there. Other places, they weren't looked upon so very well, but I like the thought of Miles Davis, and that Touch with Bitches Brew was one of Miles Davis's albums. That was a nice touch, as well as hitting him with Coltrane and Hendrix. And Hendrix was looked down upon by his own community, and because of the music he was playing at the time, it didn't fit in with the R&B and the soul that they felt he should be playing, because he was walking a different thread. He had to actually go to London to actually get noticed, and there he lit up the scene, because everybody knew where his music was coming from, and they couldn't believe that they're actually getting to see the magic that he produced, because it was a first for any of them to see. And these were the guys that were the Stones, the Beatles, all the Who, everyone on one of those groups. They cut their teeth on R&B and the blues. That was their initial beginning. That's where their love for music grew from, and that's where they threw out their own musicality, because they learned from that. And that's when the British invasion hit in the late 60s, going into the 70s, the first time around, and got the other side of the pond open up to what they were listening to and understanding, because it wasn't very popular over here at that time, which is a kind of funky thing. Anyway, nicely done, Mojo. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Let's see what we have next. All right. We have Plated with Trimmings by Eric Svensson. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Plated with Trimmings. Salome, oh Salome, let's sleigh ride Medusa's head on a plate. Or was it John the Baptist? Nasty bit of work, plated with trimmings. Pinocchio's feathers tweed. Andean condor, El Paso sweeps over snow-clad peaks. Pan pipes wondrous dreamscapes. Alpacas and llamas, darly me. They who melt timepieces are wizards, conceived in the inconceivable. Iguanas irk Ike's David. Complicity, duplicity, and duality. Nasty bit of work, plated with trimmings. Crunches like rind beneath chipped dentures. Inevitably, our heads end up on plates, don't they? Neatly inscribed bronze plate would do just nicely. Embalmed beside Kerouac and Morrison, mine shall read. Hindsight gave insight to apply foresight. Lions still play on Dennis Finch Hutton's grave in Kenya. Karen Blixen published under the nom de plume of Isaac Denison. What we love most will kill us. Heads on plates, tedious, tiresome trimmings in place. Over time, sun scorch until lace crumbles. Not words, they're immortal. Neat or nasty bites of work with trimmings, plated eternity serves them up. Yeah, each boy poet should be laid to rest in a neat Rex true form suit. each girl poet in an impish, impeccable little black number. Home run, hopscotch over the rainbow bridge. Coats of many fabulous fandango colors await us. Embalmed in charm, well out of harm's way, we reclaim hung-up hearts with gusto. Finally, abysmal gravity's gravidus, Medusa head on a plate, all nasty trimmings shredded. Info.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the sound cloud. It is very much appreciated. And Eric dipped into two prompts. It all ends in tears anyway. Future's uncertain. And we agree to love each other madly. Riders on the storm. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, as always, Eric's writing really impresses me. You know, his ability to juggle all this different wordplay and the imagery and metaphors, and of course the cultural references he has that he often uses. I really like Conceived in the Inconceivable, Iguanas, Irk, David, Complicity, Duplicity, and Duality, Nasty Bit of Work, Plated with Trimmings, Crunches Like Pork Rind Beneath Chipped Dentures. You know, sometimes, no matter, you know, how much we try to gnaw away at something, it just won't go away. I really liked how, to me, a couple of the main thoughts that I got from this was that words have an eternal life. You know, the idea that once we write something down, you know that it's there. You know, even if nobody else sees it, which as poets obviously or songwriters we often hope that other people will see it, but it was there even for that brief moment for you to absorb, for you to see. And I like how it also speaks on the transformation of poets and transformation in general, and the idea that poetry and music can change us. I do like that he mentions the inevitably our heads end up on plates, don't they, neatly inscribed bronze plates would do just nicely, embalmed beside Chirac and Morrison. Mind shall read hindsight, gave insight to apply foresight. Lions still play on Dennis Finch's Hutton's grave in Kenya. Clever lines on the idea on the thought that, you know, that hindsight is 2020, and that oftentimes our goals change. The thought that comes to my mind is, you know, oftentimes we think we want to reach the end of our life being just absolutely famous in our field. And in the end, it's really about the process of learning and the impact we made on other people. So just a clever write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this was a fantastic write. You know, what drew me to this write also was what Pam talked about, you know, embalmed besides Keurig and Morrison shall read hindsight, gave insight to applied foresight. You know, there's always somebody that, there's always people and there's always things that are going to try to derail you or to make you not so applicable or whatever you want to say. You know, it's like he didn't live that, or, you know, he didn't see that. You know, it's like when you do artistry and when you're involved in artwork, it's like, you know, you didn't do that from, you know, it's like you didn't do that in your past, and then some people feel like they can tell you what you didn't do in your future. But it's all a part of us, and people love to speak on what's a part of us. And so I just thought that this was an intriguing race.
Absolutely. I like this, for that thought with plated with trimmings, because it hits on that going down the line. Seems that there's always someone asking, but someone else is head for one reason or another. You've got John the Baptist, what Salome wanted, plated with trimmings. And then you've got, David Icke, and then you've got to throw the heads on plates, tedious, tiresome trimmings in place. Over time, sun-scorched chantilly lace crumbles. Not words, they're immortal. Neat or nasty bites of work with trimmings plated eternity stirs them up. I mean, it seems somewhere down the line, there is always somebody willing to go back a bit and say, "Now this was a rotten bit of work, and this is how we should see them now." It's the thought of twisting people's ideas to meet someone's ill-conceived thoughts of who and what they think they are and what the world should also represent them as, this whatever they're offering up for it. I did like the notion here of offering up alpacas and llamas dallying me. They who melt timepieces are wizards. I like that thought there. You've got Dali in here. You've got the sort of David Icke. Even John the Baptist to start with, and the thought of pernicious feathers tweaked, Andean condor, El Paso, sweeps over snow-clad peaks. It was a nice touch with that one, too, the idea of tweaking somebody by needling them, so to speak, or trying to tar and feather them. And what else we got here? But I did like that thought he offered up here. Was it this one here? Here. Each true boy poet should be laid to rest in a neat Rex true form suit. Each girl poet in an impish, impeccable little black number. Home run, hopscotch, skip over the rainbow bridge. Coats of many fabulous fandango colors await us, embalmed in charm, well out of harm's way. We reclaim hung up hearts with gusto. I like that touch there. But the Rex true form suit, a clothing outlet in Africa. I thought that was a nice touch there. Wonder what the suits look like. Finally, abysmal gravity's gravitas, Medusa head on a plate, all nasty trimming shredded. Medusa plate, Medusa head, the sort of evility on that one. And that kind of hits on the idea of the only way to get past evility is to actually lop its head off, thereby getting away from the before it insinuates and infests itself within everything. Nicely done, Eric. Thank you. All right, Pam, what do we got next?
All right. Well, great observations, Eric. Very cool. We have Emaciated Emitted by Luke J.R. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
All right. Emaciated, emitted. Emaciated. Cube structures in such depth. Ascending, descending. Numerals detected. Metallic shaking in depth. Huddled in several blankets of comfort. Emaciated enrichments. Diseased thoughts. Anorexia, blurred faces approaching. Anxiety nearing the silent cockroach. Eyes dwell within heavy rain. Misty thoughts. Clouded judgment lay awoken, dying coach. Whistle to be blown, no answer on their phone. Awkward pause between transmissions. Ceiling fan rusting between missions. the nearing silent cockroach crushed, while several suits were flushed, armed with armory rushed. Thin as a rake, swirling within an abandoned blender, mixed together with abbreviated sender, through discarded notes and diaries from ships, sunken within the ocean that drips, overfilled, flooding, overture outer ovulation, laying awoken by the sudden phonic notation. End poem. And Luke took on prompt one, which was, my witness is the empty sky, strange eyes fill strange rooms. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, first of all, you did a great read of that, Rex. As always, Luke J.R. has just really thought-provoking lines that, uses imagery, metaphor, and use of alliteration quite nicely. I like how the main message I like how the main message to me is that this the idea of closed minds and mixed singles in communication. I really felt like there was parts of this, like, you know, where even the use of phonic notation, sunken within the oceans that drip, overfill, flooding, overture, outer ovulations, laying awoke by the sudden phonic notation, and awkward pause between transmissions, ceiling fan rusting between missions, the nearing silent cockerel crushed while several suits were flushed. There's something in this, these imagery and metaphors that really make me think of the idea of small-minded people, but especially when it comes to communication, like not being willing to listen to what others have to say. So just really thought-provoking, right, and very well done.
Wow, thank you very much, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is fantastic, right? You know, it's very intriguing when talking about emaciated enrichment, disease thoughts, anorexia, blurred faces approaching. So initially, you have this almost subconscious, it's almost the subconscious that is diseased is what you feel about this person. And that's the whole problem, is that you have, all of these issues are happening to the subconscious mind that is talking to this person. And so I just thought that this is a fantastic write and very intriguing, because it feels like it bounces back and forth from reality to kind of the dream world. Well done.
Thank you, Dex. Let's see. For me, it walks within sounds. The idea up front, cube structures in such depth, ascending, descending, numerals detected, metallic shaking in depth, huddled in several blankets of comfort, emaciated enrichment, diseased thoughts. That's a mixture of angle on the end line, but it kind of hits me with the eyes of people who see music in not just numbers, but in colors, in contrasting ideas of objects, squares, cubes, circles, but understanding that sort, because on the back end, laying awoken by the sudden phonic notation. So everything in here is walking on the sort of sound itself, the silent cockroach. We don't really hear the cockroach, yet the cockroach notches us as we approach. Eyes dwell within heavy rain, misty thoughts, yes again. Clouded judgment lay awoken, dying coach, whistle to be blown, no answer on their phone. Again, contrasting thoughts to the idea of what is heard and what isn't. Awkward pause between transmissions. Sound that travels. I mean, you go from the Earth to the Moon. There's that point where the craft goes around the Moon and everything stops for 8 minutes, which becomes a kind of awkward pause in the moment. The nearing silent cockroach. Crushed. Somebody notices. Didn't hear it. Someone noticed it, but all of a sudden that foot has now crushed it. Swirling with an abandoned blender mixed together with the abbreviated sender. That kind of hits me, the idea of the thoughts that whirl around in your head, but you didn't get the full note of the thought or the music itself that you see and you hear. And it hits on through discarded notes, diaries from ships, sunken with the ocean that drifts. Again, all relating to sound, overflow flooding, overture outer ovulations. Again, the burst of sound itself. I like it. Something different. Thank you, Luke. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next, we have Monsoons and Mudslides by Duncan Ross Bell. And Dexter, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Hey, this is Monsoons and Mudslides. Borrow me and form your weather. The rains will drown the fall. Tactful style and scorn me leather. A tenfold mouth does call. Just bare your teeth and curse your my mother. Give me everything you are. This burning leash will someday smother, leave you with ash and a scar. I slit my wrist to watch the pain. Would you die for me? Crawl away. Sick smiles, slick hands. I'm everything you see. Trust in two disways. Bring it up. Abuse me for your lies. I'm scraped myself with for saves. Laugh it up, and glee comes your eyes. Borrow me and form your weather. Give me everything you are. Monsoons and mudslides. Mouthfuls and thunders. This burning leash will someday smother. End poem.
Great read, Dex. And prompt one was taken. My witness is the empty sky. Strange eyes fill strange rooms. And Pam, what do you think?
Oh, another one I like. You got a great lineup of poetry tonight. What? Can you hear me, Dex?
It was actually number two. The it all ends in twos anyway. The future's uncertain.
Ah, okay. Cool. All right. Well, definitely good to know that. Yep. But, yeah, great read there, Dexter, and powerful imagery and metaphors. I really like the imagery in this. I like how he mixes it up between imagery and straightforward lines. Like, you know, you feel like where it says, borrow me, and form your weather. The rains will drown the fall. You know, works really well as a metaphorical line. And then he gets to the line, I slit my wrist to watch the pain. Would you die for me? And there's a straightforward honesty to that. And that line there, of course, speaks to me on the idea of self-harm just to feel something. But I feel like this speaks on the idea of someone who sadly endures emotional pain because they don't feel like they deserve any better. They stay in this what appears to be an almost abusive relationship because they feel like they have to be the support, the emotional support for this other person. like they, you know, whatever other problems this other person is going through, it feels like those first lines really speak on the idea of, you know what, go ahead and take out all your anger out on me, because I know there's, you have good reasons for being angry. Therefore, I'm going to allow myself to be your emotional punching bag. I really liked this all the way through and thought it was a particularly powerful and emotive write. So very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. How about you, Jack?
Yeah, this was a fantastic write, you know, with the metaphor to your monsoons and mudslides. Borrow me from your form of weather, you know. I slit my wrist to watch the pain. Would you rather me die? As Pam stated out, you really get the sense of somebody that has endured some pain and is looking to some other people to have, I guess, probably inflicted some of that. And bring it up and abuse me with your lies. But there's a certain power that comes with it. I've scraped myself for saves. Lap it up and cleave me with your hours. Borrow me. Inform your weather. It really does bring up the point that you've endured all of this from the moonslides and the mudslides and this whole shit show. This person is strong enough. Continue on. And I think that they wrote a fantastic poem.
Thank you very much, Dex. I'm kind of getting a strange look at this. I'm wondering if it's not the idea of, because you hit on words, a tethered mouth does call, just bare your teeth and curse my mother, give me everything you are. Does this offer up the thought of Christ, the one talking to the father of lies? Because he does hit on that note of, where was it, bring it up, abuse me for your lies. I scrape myself for saves, lap it up, the glee becomes your eyes. Borrow me and form your weather, give me everything you are. Monsoons and mudslides, mouthfuls of thunder, this burning leash will someday smother. Kind of hits on the idea of something a little bit deeper. I thought maybe the dance between heaven and hell, so to speak. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right. Let's see here. What do we got next? All right. Up next, we have Each Other's Nirvana by Sapphire Rose. And we have a SoundCloud for that, so here we go.
Each Other's Nirvana. I drop to my knees on the cobblestone walkway between my shattered dreams and inconceivable musings. I wept like a teenage girl after heartbreak. I allowed the rain to pelt me while the rough-edged stones beneath my chilled limbs dug in, bringing me a moment of clarity. The cold, unforgiving rain molded my clothing to me, my mind lost in a daze as murky thunderheads above screamed in my ear. Benumbed, I stood and stumbled my way back to the bar, a place where Jack Daniels enabled my mind to lead my body in ways I wouldn't usually dare. But I don't care. I tried living life in its truest form, without regrets and repeated lies. Jubilation can only be found in shady parts of town, where staying out all night is the norm. Cocaine turned the frowns upside down on the faces of models with broken souls. I watched many beautiful innocents walk down that road to nowhere, which always ends the same way, with them banging on Satan's door. In the dawn of autumn, it became clear that I was just another chink in the chain of life, going through the motions of pain and strife. Nirvana, for me, came at a time when I wasn't looking for anything serious. But he changed my mind, one poetic verse at a time. And as winter edged its way in, so did he. His authentic warmth melted the ice fortress that encased my heart, allowing our feelings to flow free. We've been 3 years strong, and in each other, we found the promised land. End poem.
Great read, Sapphire. Thank you to SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Sapphire took, finding Nirvana is like locating silence. Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Nicely dipped into. Dex, what do you think about this?
Well, this is an incredible piece. You know, I wept like a teenage girl after heartbreak. I allowed the rain. You know, the whole piece of this feels such a deep and a big emotion that we have. And that, you know, when we build this big emotion, it almost feels like when we hit rock bottom, it's the reality that we latch onto. Some of us will hit rock bottom and then latch onto an addiction. Some of us will hit on rock bottom and then latch onto a person or a faith or a something. I feel like this person was lucky enough to have latched on the rock bottom, and it happened to be a person that they connected with, you know? I mean, that just doesn't happen too often. And based on the way that it ended, because, you know, this was a fantastic write. And each to each other's Nirvana, we all each have our own. Well done.
Thank you, Dex. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really like this one. This is one of those rites that just makes the heart sigh. And I like what Dexter had to say about how we each find different things to hold on to when we hit rock bottom, you know, and I like how with this, at first hitting the rock bottom meant the addiction part, the idea of turning to the Jack Daniels. I really do like those lines. Benumbed, I stood and stumbled my way back to the bar, a place where Jack Daniels enabled my mind to lead my body in ways I wouldn't usually dare, but I don't care. And that is so true. Oftentimes when there's somebody who drinks a lot to numb the pain so that they can, you know, they can be sad, they can be angry, and they can blame it on the alcohol rather than on either circumstances or their own mindset. And you know, that ending is so wonderful because, you know, while unfortunately not everybody, you know, gets their love story that happens in the end, It's such a beautiful thing when it does happen. And I thought it was that amazing imagery and metaphor. It was such a heartfelt write on the idea of the pain of life that nearly breaks the spirit, and then the healing that comes with a patient and understanding love, the kind of love where you're both healing each other. So wonderful write and very well done.
Awesome, Sam. This made me smile. There you go. Sapphire dipped into and embraced those two prompts quite well. And that opening, dropping to my knees on cobblestone walkway, shattered dreams, inconceivable musings, weeping like a teenage girl, like the rain to pelt me, rough-edged stones beneath my chilled limbs dug in, bringing me a moment of clarity. It's kind of an almost note of there is a note of being lost in that moment, outside after having not just lost the love that she had, but also maybe faith in the moment. And then that note, the cold, unforgiving rain molded my clothing to me, molded, offers up that notion of something scathing, dirty, and filled with animosity. Then the thunderhead screamed in my ear. There's almost a tone to the heavens reaching down. Hey, you know what? Wake up. But she wakes up benumbed. And what's the first thing? Got to hit the bar, Jack Daniels, and that's all that mattered in the moment. And then that sort of the hope offered. I tried living in the truest form without regrets and repeated lies. Jubilation can only be found in shady parts of town. Again, walking the dark side, where staying out all night is the norm. Cocaine turned the frowns upside down on the faces of models with broken souls. Again, I got that kind of note to the faithless, walking without any reason to live. Then the thought, then knocking on Satan's door, the pain and strife, part of life, and then that clarifying note that she hits on, which started up top for a brief moment, now comes to light. Nirvana for me came at a time when I wasn't looking for anything serious, but he changed my mind with one poetic verse at a time, and as winter edged its way in, so did he. The coldness and the warmth together in that moment. And then the back end of this, we've been 3 years strong, and in each other we found the promised land. Now that hits on that note of faith being reborn for the promised land. So nicely done, Sapphire. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next we have Dialing Up Ginsberg by Maria Dark. And it goes like this. I listen to the susurrus of midnight breathing, hearing the tattoo madness of the rain beating its brains out. I know it by its patterns, ticking clocks that chime their whimsical presence. And I think we should swim in the moon and dance among musical notes, strung out on power lines, faith ablaze with ash and bones. And I will rewrite eulogies for the world in runic afterthought. Anywhere and everywhere, I listen and watch for signs etched into the fabric of shrouds and haute couture, its vibrancy acute as the asylum, more virulent than all the silence held in abeyance by sudden insights and perfidy. We stowed the moonlight in wine caskets so we could drink it all in at our leisure. The poet with the thousand-mile stare, the writer with writer's block, the essayist with no more words in his head. We held a service in between, dialing up molecules on the hydrogen jukebox and grave robbing Ginsberg and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Mariette took Beautifully Insane in the Rain and Let's Swim to the Moon as the prompt. Nice. Dex, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this is a great rate. I think largely talking about the way that we steal from other poets or the way that we take from other poets. I guess it's all the way that you view it. You know, you can view it in a negative sense. You can view it as a borrowing sense. I've never been one to actually study real classical poetry. I've always just wrote because I thought that that was what I had to do at the time. And so I've never been one to really go, well, you should do this or you should do that. But I can understand the idea of studying people and going, this is their style or this is that. And I feel like this is a poem written about poets and written about poetry style. So I really appreciate it.
Nice, Dex. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yes. I do like this. Dialing up Ginsberg and the end lines, Gray Robin with Ginsberg. I don't know. First of all, makes me think of these. I can imagine, Ginsberg and Kerouac. Well, Ginsberg and Kerouac actually did hang out together, right? If I remember right. Or am I remembering wrong?
What's that?
Oh, that Ginsberg and Kerouac actually did hang out together, like they actually knew each other?
They might have. I don't remember at the moment.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that up. I'll have to look that up later. But, I could just imagine the idea. Well, Dialing Up Ginsberg, for some reason with that title and the ending, I got the whole thought of somebody having a seance to call forth the spirit of Ginsberg. But I can imagine. I can imagine the spirits of Ginsberg, Kerouac, and Morrison hanging out together. And, I like how this represents the three of them, but it also represents any, I think, a poet, musician, and I like Dexter's observation on, how for some people it works to study classical poetry, and for others, it just, it isn't their thing. I really like, I listen and watch for signs etched into the fabric of shrouds and haute couture, its vibrancy acute as the asylum or virulent than all the silence held in abeyance by sudden insight and perfidy. And when it gets to the point where it says, we stowed the moonlight in wine caskets so we could drink it all at our leisure, the poet, the writer, the essayist, sorry, I said that wrong, but I feel like there's almost, because it goes from the I to the we, that it could actually be three separate people, but it could also be one person and three separate parts of themselves, the different aspects of themselves. I do like the phrase hydrogen jukebox. That is so very cool. It makes me almost think of the idea of the sound of a bubbling brook or something like that. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you both. Kerouac and Ginsberg did know each other. They wrote letters to each other. Kerouac was East Coast New York, while at that time Ginsberg was in San Francisco. Ginsberg's Howl came out in 56, and Kerouac On the Road was 57. So they were very much part of the same culture that breathed itself into the late 50s and into the 60s. The way this kind of looks and the way it reads because of the two quotes, I'm thinking he kind of married up the two. Hitting on those thoughts of letters to Ginsberg, but also dripping in a little bit of Morrison in with this. I listened to the Sisters of Midnight breathing, hearing the tattoo of madness of the rain beating its brains out. I know its vice patterns, ticking clocks that chime their whimsical presence. I think we should swim in the moon. So there's the idea of walking in two shoes at the same time while offering up this thought of dialing up Ginsberg because of the compositional tone and the love for each other that Kerouac and Ginsberg shared as far as their language, their thoughts, and what they were into. The idea of Faith Ablaze with Ashen Bone, and I will rewrite eulogies for the world in runic afterthought, anywhere and everywhere. I like that tone. It's that sort of, you know what, it'll be on the subway walls, it'll be the subways, you name it. I listen and watch for signs etched in the fabric of shrouds and haute couture, its vibrancy acute as the asylum, more virulent than all the silence held in abeyance. By sudden insights and perfidy, we stowed the moonlight in wine caskets. I like that thought, the idea of crystallizing the notion of the moon, dwindling it down to that which you can apply to wine cask so that you can actually indulge within that moonlight at one's leisure. And then the thoughts behind this, the poet with a thousand miles stare, the writer with the writer's block, the essayist with no more words in his head. We held the service in between, dialing up molecules on the hydrogen jukebox. I like the idea of the hydrogen jukebox because it hits on that idea of mutating that into such a thought where you get the explosion out of the jukebox, hydrogen, the H-bomb, so to speak, and grave robbing with Ginsberg, grave robbing. There's a dark note to that, but also a touch of comedy, like drinking in the graveyards to those who have passed before you. I like that. Thank you, Myriad.
Very cool observations there, Rex. I didn't even think about the whole idea of the hydrogen bomb. I like that. All right. Well, up next we have Infirmamentality by Robert J. Tice. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
Infirmamentality by Robert J. Tice. Acrylic planets, pastel space, impostor moons, inked galaxies, universe in matted frames exhibited to spectators who sometimes squint away from phones to glance at comets, asteroids, abstractions of the Milky Way. And then the greater painting there of textured mountains, homes and hills, a town beneath that tapestry where tiny persons dwell in spells, not looking upward toward the stars, but sideways at a car or door or window, business, bank or pub. Antithesis of cognizance, as if there are better things to do than recognize the deathless art inspiring their modest world. If only they could break away, stare wide above their tired night, take glimpse impressions of their God. End poem. And Robert took on prompt 4, which was, the air was soft, the stars so fine, the promise of every cobbled alley so great, that I thought I was in a dream. Tried to run, tried to hide, break on through to the other side. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a stunning write. Intelligent use of imagery and metaphors. I really like how it speaks on, to me, one of the main messages that I got from this was the observations of art that awakens the mind. I really like how he says to glance at comets, asteroids, abstractions of the Milky Way, because I like the mention of connecting abstraction to the Milky Way to the sky, because especially the night sky, you know, everything is already always shifting. That's what I'm trying to say. Everything is always shifting, depending on the time of the year, and when it comes to studying abstract art, oftentimes, you know, your perspective will shift. You might see, one time you look at an abstract painting, you'll see something that you didn't notice the time before. I really like the phrase antithesis of cognizance, as if they've better things to do than recognize the deathless art inspiring their modest world. I like that, how those lines reflect on the idea of how those that have come before us, the poets and the artists that have come before us, have made an impact on history. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I like this write quite a bit. You know, just what, how it starts off very artistic, acrylic planets, pastel space, and pastel moons in galaxies. You know, it talks about how really artistic, almost from a God sense, that our existence is. It really kicks it off. But sideways, in a car door, a window, Manker, a pub, antithesis, a cognization, better things to do than recognize deathless art. It really starts to tie into the feeling of people that are just, they go around and cruising art and just kind of going, oh, well, fuck this, or, you know, this is just whatever. It starts off with the power of what art can be, and then kind of goes, shifts into what the death of art is. So very well done.
Thank you very much. Dex, I get where you're walking at, but it also hints at something a little deeper, the idea of what we pay attention to as opposed to what we do not pay attention to. That opening stanza offers up that note of a walking through a museum, yet you're not noticing because you barely look up from your phones at the moment to glance at comets, asteroids, abstractions of the Milky Way. And then that thought, the second stanza, the greater painting there, my impression with that is it's the world outside. The cosmos opened up to you, but you're too busy to look upwards. Why? Because you're too busy looking at a car, a door, window, business, bank, or pub. The idea, you've got better things to do than notice the beauty and grandeur that sits around you on a daily basis, yet you don't often notice a single thing about it. It blurs behind your eyes because there's always something more important. Instead of seeing what he offers up there, just maybe if for once you went out into a vast expanse outside the city limits, take a look up into that big grand sky, listen to the what's around you, and see the stars, see the moon. And in that note, you might actually glimpse the impressions of your God, so to speak, because everything sits in wonder for you to see if you have but open your eyes to it. Thanks, Robert. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, up next I have My Soul's Fire Escape by Duke of STP, Dex Bailey. And Dexter, ooh, of course, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Okay, this is My Soul's Fire Escape, Awake. For what it felt like, and eons, my tired eyes and tired mind had in my body a cold bottle, a fatigued faith, severed hope. The ghost within me is a frightened one. For the bounty in which his friendship costs, he must marry the shadows that hid just out of sight and chased your burning mind up a flight of stairs in your childhood into embers of innocence. Yet I shake the dreams from my shaped head in order to fit in and have been dying on a methodic, painful carousel financed by the electric church ever since. Now is my future apology to my past self, so I extend my hand to the stranger I have known my entire life, giving me solace in the sweet forest where my anguish and my mistakes can exist fast and radiant. My eyes are the secret password. Come with us and feast upon the jeweled moon, the only protection we have from the divine mockery the sun burned into our flesh. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. What do you got?
I liked it. Oh, I like this one. You know, I do actually remember when you had this show, Dexter, where I think, I can't, were you and Rhyme, I think? But yeah, you used like Doors song lyrics or poems, or Jim Morrison poems as prompts. I'll have to bring out the Write I Did one time for a show, not this one, but another After Midnight show, because that was those were some fun prompts to write to. I actually put this on my Poems I Think Are Awesome list. The imagery and metaphors were strong and hard-hitting. I really like this all the way through, and especially how it speaks on the idea of a person that feels like they're the haunted one. The ghost within me is a frightened one for the bounty in which his friendship costs. You must marry the shadow that hid just out of sight and chased you running up a flight of stairs and your childhood into embers of innocence. Yet I shake the dreams from my shaved head in order to fit in. That idea of trying to face our past and at the same time facing the future and even the present. Like, I feel like it's the past, the present, and the future, because you're living in the present and you're trying to feel like and show everybody that everything's normal, that you got it all together, and yet at the same time, the past and the future has you running scared. I love the phrase, the only protection we have from the divine mockery the sun burned into our flesh, as if fate itself is mocking us as we just become painfully aware of everything going on in and around us. I just thought this was such a brilliant write that had a great Jim Morrison vibe to it and was very well done.
Nice, Pam.
Pam.
This hits me with a note of recognition of something. I was thinking of that they call the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that just kind of hardness. The notice of where you hit on that idea of apologizing to my former self and then meeting me for the very first time. There's a note of understanding and growing into that nature of accepting some things while addressing others, and understanding the difference between the two, because then you find a solid footing within yourself to actually honor that which and who you are, instead of maybe still walking that cold and faithless road that you kind of hit on up top. The ghost within me is a frightening one for the bounty in which his friendship costs. You must marry the shadows that hid just out of sight and chased you running up a flight of stairs and your childhood into embers of innocence. And there was a strength in that one. But I like the back end of this too. Your eyes are the secret path to come with us and feast upon the jeweled moon. The only protection we have from divine mockery, the sun burned into our flesh. There's a nice, quiet understanding. The strength within oneself is what keeps you solid on the ground instead of wandering onto those paths that lead you astray, maybe down a road you don't want to go to, or a road that you knew you shouldn't have gone down in the first place. I like it. Piece I've seen from you.
No, I got a couple of long ones. Thank you, Rex. Been kind of writing a lot of brevities, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right, up next, we have A Lie Agreed Upon by Jody Melton, and it goes like this. In shadows deception by life's charade, two hearts entwined in masquerade, they danced upon a fragile glass, concealing the truth with a crafted mask. Beneath the masks, the love presumed, yet hollow echoes were all that bloomed, a facade of laughter, joy and glee deep within their souls, an empty sea. She pretends who she should be while he orchestrates her misery, but she read the script and the costume fit, so she played the part. Their smiles were painted, carefully placed, covering scars that time won't erase. Each step performed was a scripted art, knowing there the truth remained torn apart. They held hands, playing the perfect pair, with secrets hidden, a constant wear, their whispered words full of pretense, never daring to break the walls immense. Behind closed doors where silence weeps and shattered dreams, the pain runs deep. Their hearts crumbled, longing for release from the masks that bind a fragile peace. But fear of judgment of love's demise kept them prisoners in a realm of lies. They danced the dance of silent despair, locked in a bond they couldn't repair. For beneath the mask, the yearning stirred to find the courage to speak the words, to tear down walls and, like a kicked bucket, let emotion spill and let the authenticity of their hearts be revealed. But until that day, they danced the dance, locked in a silent, empty romance, both wearing masks, a charade so vast, and a love that faded fast. For within their lives, superficially fulfilled, the regret of never knowing true love's yield. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jody took on We Agreed to Love Each Other Madly, Riders on the Storm. Nice. Dex, what do you think?
Yeah, this is very... dark, hard hitting, right? You know, it almost punches in itself. They held hands, playing the perfect pair, the secret hidden, the constant wear. Their whispered words, full of pretense, never daring to break the walls immense. It's intricately rhymed, but what it's talking about is a deep, dark pain that, like it says, lies behind the doors. What a well-done piece and very well-written.
Yes. Thank you, Dex. Pam, you got to read it?
Yep, or did. Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I like how he mixes up the inner and rhyme. Wonderful imagery, heartfelt lines. You know, it's just a strong write on two people who only play the part of being in love. And because of that, they end up missing out on the opportunity to perhaps find real love. It makes me think of, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, a Robin Williams quote that says something along the lines of, you know, that it's better to be alone than to be with the wrong person. I like this all the way through, but especially where it said, but fear judgment of love's demise kept them prisoner in a realm of lies. They danced the dance of silent despair, locked in a bond they couldn't repair. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nicely said, you two. I got to go with that title, A Lie Agreed Upon. That kind of hits on the note. The two of them agreed to something which led them down this path. And that paints a very different thought as to what was the lie they both agreed to. Was one or the other using one or the other as a beard? Was there something deeper going on that they felt they needed to run this ruse, which actually bears the dark edge of something on one end, yet whispers on the total misery throughout between the two of them, because this is kind of dark. Behind closed doors where silence weeps, in shattered dreams the pain runs deep, their hearts crumbled, longing for release from the mask that blind a fragile peace. Again, that hint right back to the lie that they has been alluded to, but also that they walked into knowingly, which is, maybe they both knew at the outset they shouldn't have been with each other, but took that step anyway. And the full price is that which is killing them little by little each and every single year, which is, thank you very much, Jody. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I already commented.
No, I know. What's next?
Oh, okay. You just confused me when you said, what do you think? All right. Up next, we have The Kingdom of Ice Cubes by Guilty and Rex. Go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
The Kingdom of Ice Cubes by Guilty. O patron saint of lushes, what wisely gift bestowed, drunkards and barflies really want to know. Liquid fire we desire, smooth gasoline for our bowels, propane for the insane when we really gotta go. Silence the chattering monkeys, sobriety is for the dolts, heaven is the click when the liquor hits. Shushes the mind of all worry, forget the overdue loan. Overweight wife named Penny, the black toenail ingrown. Nirvana is the floating ice cube waiting to be submersed, melting in the clear liquid of a man's unquenched thirst. And poem. Okay, a little bit of humor in that one. I like it. Pam, what do you think?
I like it. I like the humor in this. And apparently, St. Matthias the Apostle is the patron saint of alcoholics. Just a little note there in case, anybody wanted to know that. I mean, obviously, this pays tribute to the idea that the whiskey, the golden burning liquor in the glass is the god of the barflies and the drunkards. It definitely did have a great biting humor to it, especially in the end line, or not the end lines, but the second to last, shushing the mind of all worry, forget the overdue loan, overweight wife named Penny, the black toenail ingrown. You know, it's like, you know what, money due, overweight wife, ingrown toenail, whiskey will solve your problems. I just really, really enjoyed this one. I also liked the line, silence the chattering monkeys, sobriety is for dolts, heaven is the click when the liquor hits. The idea that burn the soothing numbing of the mind that comes right after that burning sensation. So excellent write, great satirical wit, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. You know what's funny? Back in the day, they knew the water was bad for you because of the little bugs and the stuff that gets in it. So they decided to make beer, wine, and mead, amongst other things. Yet that included water, which they knew they had to bring to a boil to actually make this stuff. What they drank during the day was the low-end alcohol, usually 1 or 2%, so you didn't catch the buzz, so to speak. But you did. It did offer you at least the palatability of something to wet your whistle with. And then there was the stronger stuff that you saved for later on in the evening. But the funny part is, why didn't they boil the water that they had for drinking?
I like that. Very cool. Very cool.
Dex, what do you think? Dex, you there?
Fantastic. This is a fantastic write. And the thing is that where I disagree with Pam, and I always agree with Pam, but where I disagree with Pam is she said that whiskey will solve these problems. Whiskey might have brought on all of these problems. she might have brought that whiskey might have brought on the overweight wife with the ingrown toenail and all of this shit that came along with it. So, you know, that's just where I think of is that whiskey might have brought it all on. So very well done and great write.
I did like to dip into that into the prompt that that Guilty ran with the thought of who was it? This was Nirvana is like locating silence and well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Yeah, having those black ingrown toenails might be the reason for going to the bar in the first place. But then again, like Dex said, it might be the reason for the black ingrown toenail and the fat wife. That's funny. But I did like the humor. It was nice and subtle and light and airy in this piece. It did bring on that note of, yeah, we've all ingrained ourselves in this one way or another at one time or another, that next whiskey bar. And it silenced the chattering monkeys. Sobriety is for adults. Yeah, you don't know what you're missing. Oh, yes, you do. You're not waking up with hangovers. I like this. A nice note to finish the show on. Something with a touch of humor in it. Thank you, Guilty.
And great right, show tonight, Rex.
Yes. That was just fun. How many we got left?
A few. I don't know the exact number, but it's like somewhere between, I think, like, 5 and 7, which is fine because I already have another contest up. So we'll add the two together and we'll have a nice show.
Okay, okay. What we didn't get to tonight, everybody, don't worry. We shall do next week. And with that, great show, Pam. Thank you. Dex, thanks for coming on board. And for the boards, Bill, Silent, Rosie, Luke, Hats, thank you very much. And we'll do this again next Tuesday. And we'll have to do, I'll have to think up some other mashup which might produce as much fun as this did. I enjoyed it. Thank you, everybody.